The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. Thank you for taking the option of joining us here on Archangel Radio and sharing this morning time with each other. It really is a privilege to be invited into your home, into your car, into your sick room, whatever it is, at this time to pray with you. And we really do value you as a listener. And I really do mean that. So now we're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. Yeah, for the next 30 minutes, just put aside anything, any troubles you have, any worries you have, and direct them this way. Send your problems to us, and we will attempt to help you in terms of prayers for them. This prayer, we've been praying for all sorts of things in the last few weeks. We've been praying for people who are dying, and we've been praying for the dead. We've been praying for those that are left behind. We've been praying for those that suffer in various ways, various physical ailments, spiritual ailments, people who suffer mentally, emotionally, all the usual stuff. There isn't any human problem, concern, worry, fear, whatever you want to call it, that's outside of the scope of our prayer for you here today. So it's an invitation. It's an invitation. Each day we say, we're here. You want us to pray for you? We shall. Just let us know. Okay, so let's find out who our prayer warriors are today. Reed, do we have a prayer warrior?
We sure do, Kevin. We have a couple. In the studio with us is Miss Jennifer Albritton, as well as her oldest son, Davis.
Jennifer and Davis, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Thank you so much. We're excited to be here, Kevin.
Thank you, sir.
Now, help me out, Jennifer. Is this the first time you've been here?
No, this is my second.
I thought it was, because I remember your name, Old Britain. I wondered why you weren't called Great Britain, to be honest.
I know. I've wondered that forever. People always stumble over our name, and I just tell them that it's all in the country Britain.
That's right. It's a very unusual name. Do you know the origin of it?
I honestly do not. Should look that up one day.
No, it's probably good. It makes me think that your ancestors are probably from either Britain or Brittany. They may be French. Who knows? But is this Davis's first time with us?
This is Davis's first time. He's a little nervous this morning.
Davis, are you a little bit nervous?
Yes, sir, I am.
Why are you nervous? I mean, there's only everybody
in Mobile, Fairhope,
the whole of Southern really Alabama, and everybody around the world listening to you. I mean, what is there to be nervous about, Davis?
Pretty much everything.
It is when you put it like that, isn't it? Listen, why aren't you at school, Davis?
I got an excuse to do this today.
Fantastic. Which school do you go to normally?
I go to Christ the King.
Oh, wonderful. We've had a lot of children from Christ the King. In fact, I think one day one of the teachers put the radio mic out, so we had a whole troop of kids from Christ the King. It's a wonderful school, wonderful teachers, and it's a great parish, right?
And I just want to tell you something, sir. I'm in Charlie's class. I've heard that you know her.
You mean the Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie Green. I mean Charlie Gardner. Charlie Gardner, yes.
Absolutely. Charlie, the radio star? Are you telling me you know her, Davis?
Yes.
You've actually spoken to her? Wow. No wonder you're nervous. I'm really joking. Well, listen, when you get back there, you tell Charlie hello from all of us here at Archangel. We love having her on the show. She trailblazed it because she was the first. She's what, 12? No, how old are you? 9? 12? What are you, Davis? How old are you, Davis?
I am 10 years old.
You're 10. Okay. So I think when Charlie was on, she was 9 or something. So she was the youngest person we ever had on. And boy, she did well. But you're going to do just as well, Davis. I've got a feeling. I've got an ear for voices. I can tell a good radio voice, and you've got one. I'm absolutely certain of that. You just got to let yourself, ease yourself into the role today. Will you do that, Davis?
Yes, sir, I can.
By the end of it, you know, just be careful. Mike and Reed will be trying to convince you to have your own show on Archangel. Just say, speak to my agent. That's what I always say in those situations, right?
Yes, sir.
That's good. And you don't have to keep calling me sir. You know, you make me feel like I'm 95.
Well, I have beat it in his head since he was a boy. We're Southern and...
Okay, well, no, you keep calling me sir. As long as you don't call me ma'am, that's the only thing, Davis. Call me sir. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And Jennifer, I'm assuming that you're in the parish of Christ the King, the whole family.
We are. We've been there several years now.
And I hear such great things about the parish, Jennifer.
Oh, it's amazing. We have some wonderful priests. We have a great guidance. We've just found a community there, and we just love it, being a part of it.
That's great. It really does feel like a community. It really does feel like everybody's together and people know each other. They care about each other. They pray for each other. So this is wonderful. Christ the King is becoming one of my favorite spots in all of Alabama.
Well, you need to come down and visit us one day.
I hope so, Jennifer. So, Jennifer, I know you will have brought a whole bag full of requests, personal and perhaps some from the parish. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Davis, just to explain a little bit how this happens, we start the prayer off, do some of the preliminary prayers together, and then, as you know, with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, there are 5 decades, and your mother and you will have a decade each. And then you may have more than that, depending on how many calls and texts we get through, but you'll certainly have a decade each. And I lead it and you respond. So how does that sound, Davis? Doable?
Good.
Good. Good. Well, you're good as well. At 10 years old, coming on the radio, that's fantastic. I could hardly switch the radio on at 10. Do you know that?
I know. Well, actually, my brother, he was 8 years old. He would have been here, but the only reason he isn't is because he's missed too much school this year.
What's your brother's name, Davis?
His name is Harris.
Well, you tell Harris when you get back, he would have broken the world record that Charlie holds as the youngest participant in the Turley Frequency 30-Minute Divine Mercy. So if Harris, if you're listening to this on playback, maybe with your brother and your mom, you could come on in the future and you could break that world record. Wouldn't that be fun?
He's actually at school right now, so I don't think he's listening to this.
But he may hear the playback, Davis. We never know. All of this is going out on the website and on the app. You can hear it again and again. Mm-hmm. It's there forever. Your voice is being captured for future generations. Okay, well, I'm getting signals that we better start, otherwise we'll run out of time and then I'll be run out of town. So I'm assuming you've got your rosary beads handy. You got your rosary beads handy, folks? So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. And then we say together 3 times, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. That is great. Jennifer and Davis, we are up and running. I'm going to turn to you first, Jennifer, and ask, who or what have you brought with you today for our prayer?
I have brought Davis and our friends and family in Christ.
Okay. In Christ. Great. Let's dedicate that first decade then for your family, essentially, Jennifer, for your immediate family, for all your friends, and for all those who are part of your spiritual family.
Thank you.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and
the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Davis. I'm going to come to you in a minute, Davis, but we've had a couple of texts in the last few minutes, so I just want to go through some of those, if that's okay. So, good morning to you, Jim, and thank you very much for your text this morning. We're still praying really for you and for Megan and for the repose of the soul of Sharon, Jim, and we'll continue to do so. So be assured of that. But Jim's also asking us to pray for a four-month-old Rosemary, who's battling an unusual bacterial infection, and the antibiotics are just not working. So we've got a four-month-old child called Rosemary who's got some sort of unusual bacterial infection, and that must be really concerning, Jim, to her parents. And we will definitely offer up this decade now for that little child. We love adopting children on this station to pray for them. And Rosemary, we're very happy, Jim, to pray for Rosemary for as long as it takes to get her through this and back to her parents, smiling and laughing as a four-month-year-old should. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Davis. So this third decade, Davis, is all yours. So who or what would you like us to pray for in it?
Who would you like to pray for this morning?
I would like to pray for all the unborn babies, that God that may protect them and keep them safe.
That's a wonderful intention, Davis, and we pray for not just the unborn babies. Shall we pray for their mothers as well?
Yes, sir, we should.
Yeah, let's pray, especially any mothers who are a little bit frightened at the prospect of bringing life into the world, that the Holy Spirit will be with them and comfort them at this time and see that it's a wonderful gift that God has given them. Despite whatever the circumstances they may find themselves in, the gift of motherhood is just something which is incomparable. Wouldn't you agree, Jennifer?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of mothers out there who just are nervous and anxious about having a baby and what that all entails, especially
That's
in the
right.
Christian world and growing and teaching them how to love Christ and honor him and strengthen their faith.
Whenever Davis or Harris popped into this world, what was the primary feeling you had when you first looked upon their little faces?
Oh, absolute joy and love. I felt as if my heart would explode. I was very protective. I wanted to be able to provide them everything that my parents had given me, faith in Christ and love of family.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. If we could capture that, Jennifer, and play that, that's the greatest pro-life message I've heard in a very long time. Thank you for that. Davis, we'll pray for all these mothers. We'll pray for all these unborn babies, especially any in the Mobile, Fair Hope areas, southern Alabama. We'll pray for any woman listening to this who suddenly discovered that you're pregnant this morning and you're a little bit concerned. Listen to Jennifer. Listen to Jennifer. And we're praying for you now.
Absolutely.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
O my Jesus, I trust in thee.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Okay, now this next text has come in from a listener, and it's asking for prayers for Catherine, who is the daughter of the listener, and poor Catherine has breast cancer, and the texter says that it's aggressive, it's an aggressive cancer in the breast. and is asking us to pray for Catherine. Be at peace. We will definitely pray this decade exclusively now for Catherine. We'll pray that the Holy Spirit will intervene, the divine mercy will envelop Catherine at this time, and somehow repulse this evil cancer that has come into our life. God and His mercy is greater than even cancer, and we pray for miracles on this show, and we're praying now for Catherine. Praying for her parents as well. I know who you are, and you know who I am, and I'm praying for you both at this time that that the Prince of Peace will be very much present in your home. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer and Davis. Now, we have a number of requests that have come in. I suspect they have come in from listeners on the Crusade Channel. So this final decade is for anybody who's listening, who's come to us from the Crusade Channel. You're very, very welcome, and we're praying for you as well. So the first one is asking for prayers for Betsy, who listens regularly to the Crusade Channel. And poor Betsy has been diagnosed with cancer and faces surgery on March 20th. Well, Texter, we will definitely pray for Betsy for her surgery on March 20th. We pray that all will go well. And please do keep us abreast of what's happening with Betsy. We're more than delighted to continue to pray for her in these coming days, especially in the Feast of St. Joseph, which is just prior to her surgery. Another request come in, and it's asking for prayers for my brother Nick, who has been diagnosed with cancer. Yes, we'd be delighted to pray for Nick at this time. We'll also pray for you, as we do. We pray for everybody who texts in their requests as well, that the Prince of Peace will give you peace of heart at this time. And thank you very much for thinking of other people's. So this decade is for two cancer survivors, hopefully vanquishers of cancer, Nick and also Betsy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together three times. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, Have mercy on us and on the whole world. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we conclude together, O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Davis, how was that?
I was kind of nervous, but most of all, it felt really good.
It goes really quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does.
Sure does. Would you come back again?
Yes, sir, I definitely will.
We'd be delighted to have you. And if you want to bring any of your classmates with you, more than welcome.
Thank you.
Jennifer, I hope you enjoyed coming back, and I hope very soon you will join us again. Maybe bring Harris next time.
Oh, that's the plan. He was a little upset this morning. He suffers from asthma, so that, like I said, we've missed a good bit of school. So he was a little upset, but I promised him we would bring him back.
Well, I suffer from asthma too, and have done since a child. So you tell Harris that one asthma sufferer to another, I need him to come in and help me out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, listen, give our love to everybody at Christ the King. Thank you for all your prayers and for supplying some wonderful prayer warriors from Christ the King. And please come back soon, both Jennifer and Davis.
Thank you for having us, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll be talking about St. Joseph. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency. We're doing the Werewolves of London here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency. There's no werewolves here, don't worry. It's just me. I'm just a kind of a werewolf. But let's check out to see if there's any other werewolves in the studio by the names of Mike and Reed. I don't know if they're hovering and howling in the background.
Hey, yes. Yes, we are alive and well, alive and kicking this morning. An interesting day, an interesting show so far.
Yeah, there's 30 more minutes.
I know.
What did you make of our simulcast? It's the trouble is with Mike, he has so many interests and so many comments and so much commentary. I mean, as I said, you just rip the script up at the start of it and say, "We'll just go with the flow." How did you find it?
Oh, hey, listen, Mike Church is always solid. I mean, obviously, you know, with it being simulcast, and I think our listeners have to understand that there may be some timing issues involved where, you know, when we bring him on, he's not ready. You know, he's in a different part of his program. So there's a delay in that sense. But what I mean by interesting, and of course, Mike Church is always nothing short of interesting, but Elliot, who called up, and he was really angry with me. He wanted to take the call with you off the air, and I had to explain to him I there's no way to possibly do that. I mean, and so I think he's really concerned for you, and I think maybe I don't know if he was. He didn't want, you know, I guess Mike Church to be a part of, He thought he was in on the he was with the government and Mike Church
you
was in on
one,
it. He needed you one on one, and I get that. And I try to why I try to explain to him like well, we can't. This is a live radio show.
Yeah,
and
well,
he didn't get it.
We can do we can do live one on one on air. You know, I mean and Elliot, if you're listening, you know, do call in again. We're always glad. Anybody
absolutely.
Who wants to call in, you get one on one on air, but we don't do off air because that's just not going to work, folks. So
I hope you didn't offend you know Mr. Church. So I texted Mike after and was like, hey man, I hope Mike, you know, I hope that Elliot didn't, you know, offend you, Mike.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For wanting to do that.
Good. Well,
so.
I'm sure, listen, after, what is it, 30 odd years doing talk radio, Mike has had plenty of Elliots and everybody else. So,
sure. But our relationship with him, though, Kevin, is fresh. And so that's why, you know, I don't want to, you know, cause any kind of riff. You
don't
know,
you
between
worry.
Our show
don't,
and his show. So
don't you worry. My relationship with Mike is old and stale, so don't you worry. now, listen, I've got a question for both of you.
Sure,
because
sure.
Guess what? We all share one common characteristic. Reed, Mike, and Kevin. Guess what it is?
We all bleed.
Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, we're all Catholics. Yeah, that's true. But we're also, first and primarily, we're all male. And guess who is the patron of next month, March?
St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
Correct. And I came across this fascinating article because St. Joseph is our patron, essentially,
sure.
Right? In the same way that Our Lady is such a wonderful patron for everybody, a mother for everybody, but she's also a particular mother for all of our sisters and wives and aunties and uncles and moms. So tomorrow I came across this fascinating article about 12 ways in which you can honor St. Joseph, and I just thought I would run them past you and get a quick vox pop. What do you think?
Hit us with it.
Let's do it.
So on this website, which I won't give credit to, there's there's a prayer which says that it is so powerful that it was never been known to fail. You ever come across one of these prayers?
Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Is it okay if I make a mm-hmm. guess here? Is this the cloak, the novena to the cloak of St. Joseph?
I'm going to read out what it says here. This prayer was found in the 50th year of our Lord and Savior.
Okay.
In 1505, it was sent from Pope to Emperor Charles when he was going into battle. Whoever shall read this prayer or hear it or keep it about themselves shall never die a sudden death or be drowned by poison, you know, hands of the enemy, fire, battle. Say for 9 mornings in a row, whatever you desire, never been known to fail. I think my mother gave it to me the day I left home. O St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so prompt, so strong, before the throne of God, I place all my interests and desires and so on. I think you know it, but it's a very beautiful prayer. What we might do is, if we've got a moment, is that we'll post it somewhere on the social media. But anyway, that's the first thing. And I think it's a good idea to really invoke St. Joseph during this. But the second one is especially for you, Mike, because it's asking everybody to honor your father.
Amen.
In Italy and Spain, Father's Day is celebrated annually on St. Joseph's Day. What a lovely idea. Did you know that? Maybe with your Italian heritage, you knew that.
Yeah, sure. I knew that. Everybody knows that.
but I never knew that, and I think it's a great idea. So we should honor our fathers. Now, for those of us whose fathers are long since gone, it's a chance to pray for them especially. But for anybody listening in the Romano household, somebody called Mike needs a special little bit of pampering on the 19th of March. And also, I know both of your parents, both of your fathers, Mike and Reed, are both alive, so you could give them a ring on the day and say, Happy Father's Day.
Yep.
Do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely will do that.
That'll be great.
Sounds good. Now, the third idea I think is going to be really tough, okay? And I did consult with Michelle before I was going to speak about this. She said, well, look, you can say it on air, but, you know. Because the third is to resolve to work smarter this month.
Mm-hmm. I can't help you on that.
Well, I said to Michelle, there's no way we can work any smarter on this show. And she said, try. So that's one of the ways, because, you know, St. Joseph is the worker, and we should all be trying our very, very best. Number four is place an icon, statue, or image of St. Joseph on your table. Now, I don't know what it means by table there. It could be anywhere in your work table, or it could be a home table. Do you have in the Romano household a little statue or icon of St. Joseph?
You know what? I think we buried. What? I hate to say this.
What?
I know. When we tried to sell our house years
Mike,
ago.
Call Reed, can you call security, please? We've got an issue here.
I know. when we tried to sell our house, which we did, you know, we ended up, you know, burying St. Joseph, and I forgot to get him out of the yard. And my son reminds me of that.
Did you do that? You buried St. Joseph? Yeah, I've heard about this. It's a great idea.
Anyway, it worked, you know.
Yeah, it does. No, it's great. Well, listen, you can always get another picture. There's lots of pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do need to get him. I need to get another one.
Number five, make Wednesday special. Now, you all know that Wednesdays, tomorrow, is the day traditionally dedicated to St. Joseph. So it's a kind of a case of let's make Wednesdays great again. What do you think?
Absolutely wonderful idea. Every day, every Wednesday is going to be a special day. It's going to be better. We're going to make Wednesday great again. We're going to make America great again. And Great Britain.
Yeah. So we're going to make Wednesdays great again with a special St. Joseph feel in the coming month of March. Number six is make a St. Joseph's Day altar, which again is another thing. It's an Italian tradition, that, where you make a little altar to St. Joseph. In fact, my wife was taking down the crib the other day, you know, with presentation and what have you, and she said, shall we keep St. Joseph? And I said instinctively, yeah, let's keep him up, because he's very, very useful for lots of things, putting little prayer requests under his statue. But I suddenly realized that we've made a St. Joseph altar by accident. But I encourage everybody to have a little image of St. Joseph in your home during March, especially for your father or the men folk there. Number seven is adorn your home with flowers. I'm not sure why that is. Oh, Easter, it's the lilies which are associated with St. Joseph. Now, it says number eight, and you can imagine, no offense, but I'm trying to think who would have written this. Find a way to include St. Joseph in the decor of your home. Well, we've already talked about that. We've got statues. You can put them in the garden. You can put them on the wall. You can little pictures. Children's rooms can have little pictures of St. Joseph. And then it goes on. Read the Consecration to St. Joseph by Father Donald Galloway. Very good idea. Number 10, find ways to give. Why find ways to give? Well, there's a tradition that St. Joseph, patron of families, so you give to your local families in need. Number 11, pray for the suffering, the sick, and the dying, because as we know, St. Joseph is the patron of the dying and a comfort to the afflicted and hope of the sick, something which is often overlooked. St. Joseph is a great comforter to all those categories. But here's the one that I really liked. Are you ready for this?
What's that one?
At the end of the day. Now, this is for all of us. At the end of the day, give your worries to the sleeping St. Joseph. Don't you just love that?
Yeah.
Because it's said that St. Joseph, who one of the titles in his litany is Terror of Demons, because he even frightens demons in his sleep, such as his power and strength. Ask St. Joseph, who communicates with God, even in his dreams, to pray for your intentions and take your worries so you can get some rest. And Pope Francis has advised that we place a note with your special intentions under a statue of the sleeping St. Joseph. I love that. I love that idea. What do you think?
Hey, who needs barbitol when you got St. Joseph, right?
Perfect. Absolutely perfect, Mike. That's right. Or who needs this show when you've got St. Joseph sleeping?
Nah, I'm going to call you out on that one now.
All right. Well, listen, we're starting tomorrow with St. Joseph, so I'm going to tell you a little story about St. Joseph, and we are about to enter the wonderful world of story time. So tomorrow we're starting our St. Joseph month here on the Turley frequency. I've decided. I mean, I haven't checked with Michelle, but I'm sure she won't have any problem with it. Let's have a whole month where we ask St. Joseph to look after everybody who listens to this show, everybody who works on this show, everybody who works at Archangel, and everybody who will listen to this show, because we are hoping to bring many souls to Christ through our radio apostolate. Now, 40 minutes by train from London, you come to a very, very interesting abbey. It's called Farnborough Abbey, and it's a fascinating place. I'll tell you the full story of that at a later date. For my money, it's one of the most impressive Catholic churches in the whole of the British Isles. And how it came about is to do with Napoleon Bonaparte, but that, as I say, is a totally different story. But in the side chapel of the monastery church, to the right of the high altar, stands a very, very large statue of St. Joseph. Now, you might say, well, so what? There are lots of churches with lots of statues of St. Joseph, and you're right. But this one is different. Farnborough Abbey in Hampshire, that's the county of England that it belongs, has become the national shrine to St. Joseph. But the national shrine wasn't always located at the abbey. In fact, for many years, the statue and the national shrine were located not far from where I'm speaking to you today, because they were located in London. And the story of how this abbey becomes the national shrine of St. Joseph here in England starts about 151 years ago. Well, it starts in 1866. Don't ask me to do the mathematics. You know, that's not my thing. 1866. And it was a place called Mill Hill, which, as I say, is about 5 or 6 miles from where I'm speaking to. And it was there that a young priest set up a missionary society under the patronage of St. Joseph. The priest's name was Hubert Vaughan, and he would in time become the Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster here in London. So when the chapel for the training college of the new society was being dedicated, and having permission from the then Pope, Pius IX, the then Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster, Henry Manning, came and crowned the statue of St. Joseph. And that became a kind of shrine to St. Joseph. Now, in due course, Mill Hill closed down and the shrine became no more. I think the training college for priests is long since history. So in 2006, the lands in the former college were sold to property developers, and Farnborough Abbey down in Hampshire was asked if it would receive the shrine, the St. Joseph's shrine, statues and altars. And the abbot at Farnborough Abbey agreed to this, and by 2008, the current national shrine was erected at its present location. Okay, you might say, Kevin, this is all very interesting, but it's not particularly, you know, story time material. Well, just bear with me. A statue moving, you're right, a statue moving from one place to another, reflecting the changing times and priorities of religious communities, to say nothing of changes over the decades within English Catholicism, is not much of a story. But there was more to it than that. Now, do you remember I told you that the man who set up that missionary society dedicated to St. Joseph was known as Father Herbert Vaughan, and he would later go on to be a Cardinal Archbishop? Well, it's interesting that property in Mill Hill, which was a very, very impressive place, and he went to buy it, he tried to buy it when he was starting his missionary society, but the owner would not sell. No matter how much money was being offered, the then owner of the property that they had thought would be perfect for this seminary, the owner just wouldn't sell. So much so that Father Herbert Vaughan actually went and tried to remonstrate with the owner of the property. He went, met him and said, look, you know, we've got this, we need this. And that the owner still refused to sell, and poor old Father Vaughan departed rather depressed that he had not been able to acquire this property. But here's the thing. Later that night, he realized that he had left his bag behind him at the property, right? So Father Vaughan returned to the property to retrieve his bag and apologized to the owner, no doubt, for disturbing him. But when he returned, something quite strange had changed. You see, he arrived at the property to find that the owner had had a complete change of mind and on the spot agreed to the sale immediately. That's right. Now, Father Vaughan was absolutely delighted by this and, you know, was amazed at this transformation in this man. And he retrieved his bag and he bid farewell to the owners, now the sellers of the property, and he left bag in hand and returned to wherever he was staying, somewhere else in London. But guess what he found when he opened his bag when he returned to his lodgings? He found in his bag a statue of St. Joseph. Now, you might say, listen, this is a future Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster. Very fine churchman, a very good writer and all the rest. A serious man who had no time for frivolities. He would not make something like this up. But given what happens next, I think it's very interesting. Now, during Father Vaughan's fundraising endeavors, he had received a donation from an unexpected source. And the sum of money was sent to the priest from the then French Empress, the Empress Eugenie. Now, just to give you a little bit of understanding, she was part of the Bonaparte Imperial House. So you had Napoleon Bonaparte and then later his nephew, the next Bonaparte, it was called Napoleon III, Napoleon III. He took up residence in the 1850s as the head of France, and it was his wife, the Empress Eugenie, who sent the money to Father Vaughan in London. The Empress Eugenie was known as a very, very devout woman. As you can see, she will re-enter this story now because the Franco-Prussian War happened in 1870, and that ended the Bonaparte Imperial House. And the Bonapartes were exiled to England from France. And some years later, in 1881, it was Empress Eugenie who founded St. Michael's Abbey. Do you remember the abbey I told you about in Farnborough? And she built it and she installed a religious community there that didn't last for very long. And then the Benedictine Abbey of Salem in France, they took it on, and it's to this day a Benedictine abbey. And if you go to Farnborough, in the crypt, you will see the tombs of Napoleon III, the Empress Eugenie, and their son, the Prince Imperial. I'll tell you a story about all of that at another date. But it's a very, very impressive place. But here's the thing. Initially, in the Abbey sanctuary, there was a statue of St. Joseph, quite a large one. But it disappeared sometime in the 1940s. And to this day, no one knows why or where it went. Nevertheless, it's a kind of curious precursor to the crown statue that now stands in the sanctuary. So are you with me? You're following this? We have the shrine in Mill Hill with its mysterious origins and beginnings with Father Vaughan and suddenly being able to acquire this, and he built this great shrine to St. Joseph. And he got the money for that from the Empress Eugenie. Then many years later, when the shrine in London is closed, it moves to the abbey, which the Empress Eugenie had actually founded. Okay? And it's run by Benedictine monks. And that seems very apt, because let's think about something about the monastic tradition, as understood by St. Benedict. So we know that the St. Joseph is patron saint of the dying. We were talking about that earlier, patron of the dying. Well, in chapter 4 of the rule of St. Benedict, it says that the monk should, quote, death daily keep before his eyes. So they should be thinking about the dying, and all Christians in a sense are dying. So that's what St. Joseph is helping them do. Now, the other thing which is essential to a monk is physical labor. We know that they pray, but they also have to work. And St. Benedict was very, very strict that they did physical work. And who's the great worker in the Gospels? Who is described as the artisan in Matthew chapter 13? St. Joseph. We also know that Benedictines, like a lot of monks, are supposed to live in silence. They are supposed to speak only when the rule allows it. Well, we also know that there was no more a silent character in the Gospels than that of St. Joseph. He's a man who uttered not one word as recorded in the Gospels that have come down to us. So he's a great silent saint. And why is he silent? He's not silent because he's got nothing to say. He's silent because he is in attendance to the mother and child. And each monk, each Christian, should be daily attentive to mother and child. Now, the other thing, of course, is that each monk is called to celebrate through the divine office worship of God. That is their raison d'etre. That is why monks exist, right? To praise God morning, noon, and night. Well, what did St. Joseph do morning, noon, and night? He contemplated the Word of God, the very Word of God, under his roof and under his patronage. So you can honestly see how very easily St. Joseph is the model for monks, and that the life of St. Joseph, the world of Nazareth as we understand it, is a very good model for a monk's silent pilgrimage upon this earth. Now, the shrine today, the English shrine to St. Joseph, is not particularly well known, I have to say. And even when it was at Mill Hill in London, it was not particularly well known. It was just known as St. Joseph's Mill Hill, but it wasn't really known as the National Shrine. But as we've talked about on this show, the moment, the time of St. Joseph seems to be coming now, not in the past. His ability to understand man, his ability to be able to help man, his ability to be able to give us a template for true masculinity has never so much been needed as it is in these troubled and confused days. So this really does seem like the time of, or the era of St. Joseph. And we all know that it was only a few years ago that Pope Francis declared a whole year dedicated to the devotions to St. Joseph. I have to say that recently, I know Mike and Reed were talking about reading the Bible during this year. And I have to say that during lockdown, I was reading the Bible a lot, and I was reading, thinking about St. Joseph a lot. And I was amazed at how many ways St. Joseph keeps popping up in the Bible, if you've eyes to see. For example, and it's not just, it's the name Joseph keeps coming up all the time. And with a little bit of imagination, you can start to see how St. Joseph is a wonderful accompanier on the spiritual life. I'll just give you one example. It wasn't until I was reading Exodus recently that I realized that when the Israelites left Egypt, they carried a number of things. Now, they picked up the Ark of the Covenant and so forth in the desert, but they left Egypt with the bones of St. Joseph, the original St. Joseph, the Joseph the Patriarch, who people went to in a time of famine. Do you remember? Genesis 41. So they brought the bones of Joseph all the way back into the promised land. And that's a very interesting meditation in itself. As we journey through our deserts this Lent, we should ask that we bring with us the memory too of St. Joseph in these days of Lent. So St. Joseph, Holy Patriarch, terror of demons, pray for us.
You've been listening to Storytime on the Turley Frequency.
What do we have coming up tomorrow, Kevin?
Well, I'm really glad you asked, Reid. We've got more UFO stuff coming up tomorrow, so let's get those phone lines working. We have Erin Berghaus coming in, and she will be telling us all about UFOs. She's a director and a composer and much else besides. So how does that sound, Reid?
Excellent. We're going to be well UFO'd.
We're going to be UFO'd out by the time we finish on this show. What do you reckon?
We sure are.
But as long as the audience aren't abducted, we'll be fine.
Some of them may have been.
Enough about Mike Church's audience. Listen, if you've enjoyed listening to us today, we've enjoyed having you listen to us. So let's do it all again. Same time, same place, same frequency. Comes on same time, 8 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. Eastern. We are the Turley Frequency, and we are here for your edification, your entertainment, and please God, your illumination as well. And we'll do it all again, same time, same place. So until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, Archangel Radio. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.